This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Good morning. How are you? It is really a joy to be with you today and have a few minutes with you, a few minutes together as we share a little bit, and appreciate Dr. Jones becoming a good friend over the last couple of years, so I appreciate that opportunity as well. And we'll share a little bit. I don't have a three-point message for you today. I probably don't have any deep theological insight for you either. What I hope to have for you is a little old guy advice. How would that? Would that work all right? You know? Because what I want to talk about today, I don't know if you've got my message title or not. They wanted it, so I found one for them. Can I just kind of be real and hang out with you guys a few minutes today? Is that all right? So I don't know if I'll kind of fit the mold today or not. I probably won't, but the only person I know really how to be is me. Come on. I tried for 20-something years to be somebody else and figured out it was easier to be one person than trying to be several. Good morning. Anybody here with me? Hey, guys, you got to be here, so you might as well listen. Come on, all right? Give me about 20 minutes. Can you give me 20 minutes? That work? That'd be good. I know you're looking at that and say, who is this guy? Where did Dr. Jones find this guy? Well, here's my question for you today, and again, I am very grateful and honored to speak here today and to be among you as I pulled on campus today, and I've been out this way sometimes, a few times before as such, and daughters went to Ben Lippin a few years ago and that kind of thing, but as I pulled on campus today and saw someone out in the media and reading their Bible, just standing looking and reading, and the scripture came to my mind, this is the generation of those that seek you, O God.
Yes!
Come on. Amen. I know we got a couple people here, part of that generation. The question will be, see, here's the deal. You can live in that generation, but not be a part of that generation. Good morning. Because see, there is a generation that's going to seek the Lord. And I believe your generation is that generation. The question today will be, are you going to be part of that generation? Or are you going to watch that generation seek and go after God like no generation ever has before? See, I'm an old guy, but I still want to be a part of that generation. Make an announcement today. You guys are going to have to run fast. Keep up with me. Come on. You might have a few steps on me, but I'm going to run after God. My journey with Christ started as a good little Baptist boy, 11 years old. I walked in, I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and he did. Thanks, Jesus, for saving grace and Vacation Bible School. Somebody said amen. Come on. But it wasn't until 20 that I really made up my mind that Jesus was going to be Lord of my life, and I was all in for him. And I was all in for him. Chances are you're probably all in or you wouldn't be here. Probably a few of you here for other reasons, just kind of had to force that way, whatever. But you're here because you're all in. The question for you today that I want to talk about for the next few minutes is this. Will you finish what you started? Will you finish what you started? And of course, I know what you're saying. Of course I'm going to finish what I'm starting. But the reality and the statistics will show that many, if not most, who start never finish. That's a sad reality. Now, I understand most of you today are probably on the front end of that starting, and that's good and that's awesome. But, of course, right now all you're thinking about is finishing this week and getting out for Christmas holidays. I understand. That's the next goal, right? Let me finish this week, Pastor Ken. That's all I'm after right now. But I want you to think with me for a few minutes. Think broader and bigger and longer. Will I finish? And how will I finish? And my goal this morning, again, is not in any way to call into question your calling of God or your commitment to God or even your character. But rather, I want to share with you three insights from my personal journey over the past 30-plus years that have helped me and are helping me to finish and hopefully, by God's grace, finish well. You know, the Apostle Paul said this. He says, I finished my race. I finished my course, and I want to be able to say the same. What about you? You know, I really want to finish my course. I want to finish my race, and I want to finish well. And I believe that's in your heart this morning. And again, I heard that call of God upon my life to be in the ministry at that point in time, whatever that meant, when I was 21 years old. And it's been very rewarding. I must say, wow, what a rewarding journey with Christ over the past 30-something years. But it's not been without intense difficulty. So if you and I are going to finish, we're going to finish well. Three things we need to know. The first one is this, and maybe you can write these three things down. I know you write down a lot of stuff and get a lot of classroom stuff, but maybe make a little couple observations mentally. Put it down somewhere. The first one is this. First thing you'll need to know, you need to know God as Father. You'll need to know God as a Father. Can I make a couple of observations, hopefully not get in trouble this morning? It's one thing to study God. It's quite another thing to know Him. And I don't know that if just because I make an A in Theology 101 that I know God. For me, it's been in the laboratory, not the classroom, that I've discovered Him. And I'm all about the education stuff. Got a master's myself, and I try to read a book a month to learn, to grow, educate myself. We need good theology. We need good doctrine. We need all of that. But in my years of experience, it's been in the laboratory, not the classroom or the conference, or maybe even the chapel service, that I've come to know Him. But it's been through my experience and my encounters that I've come to know Him. Not just as a God I believe in and have access to through Jesus Christ in His blood on the cross, but a Father I know and a Father that knows me. To know Him, you see, to know Him is to move beyond an intellectual place to where I touch Him, I feel Him, I know He's with me. Sometimes I can say, I know He's here. I know He's here. I know He's got me and I got Him. Everybody said, Lord, bless you. Ever had that encounter? Ever had those encounters at an altar, at a bedside, mountain trail? And if I understand the scriptures correctly or understand them a little bit, truly indeed to truly know Him is to experience Him in life. It was Tozier said, I want to be a God-made man, not a self-made man. And if you want to be a God-made man, then I think you have to know God as Father. God as Father. John 4:24 says this, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. I like to read that like this sometimes. God is a spirit, and those that know Him must know Him in spirit and in truth. And those work together to help me make it. So the question is, why must I encounter Him as a Father, Pastor Ken? Why is that important? Good thought, good theological thought. We can say amen to that. Why is that important? You see, because a Father's love offers me something that nothing else can offer. John 3:3, you must be born again. You must be fathered of the Spirit. And then Galatians 4:6 says, when the Spirit comes into our hearts, we say this, we say, Abba. Come on, say it with me. Abba, Father. Something happens. We call that saving grace. The saving grace of that is that I now know Him as Father and not just believe in Him as God. That born-again experience. Isn't it amazing we use that terminology? That born, I am born of the Spirit. I am born of the Father, and it makes me His child. 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the has given unto us that we should be called children of God. A great apostle wrote that, by the way. And I believe he wrote it not out of just doctrine and theology, but he wrote it out of, come on, experience. Because you see, he knew Him in the flesh because he walked with Jesus, didn't he? But then he was to pen later on, he was to say, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto me. You see, the reason I need to know Him is a Father's love, and I've had to know Him and know the Father's love is because there'll be times in your life and your ministry when the only thing that will sustain you is knowing the Father's love. Knowing that He loves you, that He's committed to you, that He's with you, that He'll never leave you, that He'll never give up on you. Sometimes you just need to know that. Because if you don't know that, you can always find a place to quit. If you don't know that. And I've had plenty of opportunities to quit. Good opportunities, mind you, to quit. And here again, I know you're early on in your journey, but possibly you've had some opportunities to quit. You know, like I said, 21 years old, on fire with Jesus. Jesus coming on life. We were sold out to Him, you know, had my jeans, my long hair, the whole, you know, 70s thing, whatever. if you ask your mom and dad about it, whatever, however you do that, go back and read a little book or two. That whole thing of when there was a sweeping move of a generation that wanted to follow God, and I got in on that. And I believe you're in on it today. But a few years later, at 25, 26, you know, I got married, met my wife at college, and we got married, and wow, we're off, you know, trumping into, going to make history and do a big mark for God. About 3 or 4 years into that, we had a kid. A couple more years, then we had another kid. Then it began to change on us, and we found some quitting places because my wife had cancer. Duke Hospital, 5 months. Year after that, she was healed of cancer. Year after that, she lost her eyesight, so she became legally blind at 25. So here I am at 28, 29 years old, and this young bride we had taken, we're going to do some great stuff for God. She's all pale from the chemo treatments. Her hair's all falling out. She's blind. I got two little kids. I had a place to quit. But there was something at that moment, time, and season in my life when the Father's love gave me what nothing else could offer. All my studies, all my books, all my stuff. And the Father's love that I'd come to know in those years of seeking Him and looking for Him and walking with Him sustained me. Because you see, I don't believe just in a saving grace. I believe in a sustaining grace. A grace that will not only save me. Come on, somebody help me preach a little bit today. Come on, can you do that? Say amen. Not only a grace that will save me, but a grace that will sustain me. And I've had a few other spots like that along the way as well, by the way. But the sustaining power of a Father's voice, the impartation of grace and strength, was reading the other morning, Matthew 3:17, Jesus, He's baptized, comes up out of the water, and He hears something. He sees that dove come down, but he more importantly than what He saw is what He heard. There was a voice from heaven. Let me give it to you, King James. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I was reading a different translation the other morning, and it said this, spoke to me. The Father said this to the whole world and all of creation. This is my Son. There's probably nothing more affirming, more empowering than to hear your Father say, this is my Son. Or a daughter saying, had two daughters, or a daughter hearing daddy say, introducing her, this is my daughter. You know, the challenge with that is overcoming what Ed Cole said in one of his books was the most difficult obstacle in life to ever overcome. The obstacle of rejection. The obstacle of rejection. Very possibly and probably, you've already experienced that to some degree already. Maybe through family, maybe from your father. There's all kind of issues that can come into our life and implode in our life when we deal with this matter of rejection. Maybe a relationship, maybe friends, maybe who knows where that comes from. But the cure for rejection, the cure for rejection is the Father's love. The Father's love cures the curse of rejection. And you know why I need to be cured from rejection? Because if I'm never cured from it, it becomes a root in my life that impairs me relationally, with my confidence, and with my decision making. And if there's ever three things that you're going to need to finish your race, it falls in this category of I'm going to need relationships to finish. How many know this is not a solo run? You're going to need people in and out of your life, teams, pastors, churches, boards, working together, mission teams, all working together. So I'm going to need to be good relationally. If I'm still suffering under the curse of rejection, I'll have difficulty there. What about confidence? Wow. Rejection breeds insecurity and isolation. What about this whole idea of decision making? Wow, I can make so many decisions. I need to make them out of a sense of self-value and self-worth. You see, when God accepts me, that's the acceptance I need. That's the acceptance I need. The cure for rejection is acceptance, and ultimately not the acceptance of my peers. But the acceptance is found through knowing God as Father. What affirmation, what a confidence builder to know deep down inside it. That's what I needed when I'm struggling through stuff, whether I'm working with my family issues early in life or church issues other on that I'm needing in life. And when tragedy strikes and things aren't working well, and when friends leave or your church one day splits or your plans fall apart and they call you home from the mission field and all that kind of stuff, what are you going to need to finish? To gird up some strength and move forward, what are you going to need? You're going to need a relationship with a God you know as Father, who in those moments when nobody else can speak to the depths and the issues of your heart, He can and He will, because He's your daddy. He is Abba, Father. So to know God as Father was one. The second one is to know the Bible as a friend. I brought my old friend today, kind of ragged, isn't he? Been around a while like me. Rather good around the edges a little bit. So I need to know God as Father, but then I also need to know my Bible must be my friend. You see, it's more than a book to study, more than a place to find a sermon or an outline for class, more than a reference place in time of crisis. The Bible must become and must be my very best friend. You know, when I became a Christian, I found my counsel and my advice from a friend I had just met a few days earlier. I had been introduced a few days earlier before my salvation experience to a guy like this because my mom gave me a Bible for Christmas. And I asked Jesus into my life on New Year's Eve the following week. And this guy right here, not this specific one, but one very much like him, became my best friend. I dropped a lot of my old friends. That was a good point to say amen. I dropped a lot of my old friends and started a new year with a new date under my arm. And we've been a little tight ever since, over all these years. Question I want to ask you, who's your best friend? You'd probably think of a person. Let me see. Might be right off the top of your head, might have to think about it. But I would encourage you, one that'll stick closer than a brother through life to you is this Bible. And it needs to be far more than a textbook, far more than a reference book, far more than a historical document. It must become your best friend. Your best friend goes with me everywhere I go. We hang out together. We talk. Do you ever talk to your Bible?
Yes.
I say, oh, Lord, talk to me. Come on. Where are you? I'm looking for you. Where are you? I got to find you. Where are you? By the way, you know what I found out about this friend? He talks back to me too. Do you know the Bible is the first talking book, you know? Come on. The Bible was talking before we ever had technology. Come on. I wish somebody would hear me today. Come on. Because God's Holy Spirit enlightens the pages of this book, and He talks to me. In fact, in my early years, I got my advice and my counsel from this old friend I had just met. And he's still walking with me today. My good old friend speaks to me, speaks light to me, and speaks life to me. You see, that's why in Titus it says this. Titus says that, and the grace of God has appeared, and it teaches us. See, this Bible, we talk about saving grace, we talk about sustaining grace, but we also need to talk about sanctifying grace. And that sanctifying grace comes out of my relationship with this old buddy of mine right here who talks to me. Because, you see, the first thing God did, remember when He created the world was dark and form with void and confusion. And the first thing He did was speak. And when He spoke, light and darkness split apart. And every word God speaks separates light from darkness. And when I came to Christ, the first thing I needed to do in my life was separate the light from the dark. What about you? Come on. See, you probably, when I get in a tough time, I got to make a tough decision, a critical decision in my ministry or with my family dynamics. The big challenge you want for me is, okay, what's light and what's dark? How do I make that decision? Well, I usually get some counsel from my old buddy here. We'll sit down, we'll talk a few minutes. I say, oh, come on, guy, you got to talk to me. I'm in a tough spot. And you know what he does? He talks to me, and we live out of that relationship. And God spoke, He said, let there be light. And ever since His word, His voice, come on, His voice from my best friend has been a faithful companion who's always there for me and who will speak to me and direct me and guide me and truly be my guide, my teacher, my counselor, my comforter all the days of my life. Always been there for me. Always quickly responds to my emails. It's always there. I would just encourage you over the years ahead of you, not to get out of touch with this good friend. Because if you're not careful, it can be really important and essential in the early years. But then so many other people and places and things come into your life. If you're not careful, you kind of put an old friend on the back shelf. And the last thing you want to do one day is wake up and say, wow, I haven't heard from you in years. I haven't heard from you in years. Third insight. Well, the last one, let me say this. Rather than spending so much time on Facebook, we ought to spend more time facing the book. Come on. What if you spent as many hours facing the book, come on, as you did on Facebook? Oh, I'll leave that alone. I'll let your pastors, professors take that one up with you somewhere. Third insight. Remember, we're going to know God as a father. We're going to know the Bible as our best friend. And the final one for you, this one just in a couple minutes, is to know the person of the Holy Spirit as a force in your life. The person of the Holy Spirit is a force in your life. The third person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power. You see, when I came to Jesus, I needed some help. 37 years later, you know what? I need some help. You never grow out of needing help from God, from Jesus. At least I hope you don't. Because when you do, you're on your own. And I don't want to ever move out of that place where I'm on my own again. I live on my own long enough. I don't live on my own anymore. And I need to understand that here again, that the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit coming into my life, nurturing my life, cultivating my life, is available for me. I needed help then. I need help now. And it was available. Again, at salvation, Jesus Christ came into my life and gave me the power to step out of my past and into my future. Because you see, what I had to do is I had to break out of a relationship that was out of bounds and unhealthy. I had to leave some old friends behind. I had to start a new way of living. I had to leave home and go off to school. Again, when my wife had cancer and was blind, I had to stay married. I had to find the courage. We had to find the courage later and strength to pick up to move away from home several states. Then we had to find the courage and the strength to move back home and start a church 22 years ago. Had to find the strength and courage to stay at that task for 22 years now. And I think, again, I'm reminded again of that power, that internal fortitude that is needed, not just to embrace the future, but sometimes endure the present. And many times that's where we quit, isn't it? When we're just unable to endure it anymore, we say, I quit. I don't want anybody in here to ever quit. I want you to finish. Whether you've been at it 2 years, 20 years, or 30 or 40, 50 years, don't stop now. Don't stop shy of the finish line. And don't march the ball down the field and get a whole bunch of first downs and fumble inside the 10-yard line. You don't want to do that. You want to score. You want to win. You want to finish. You want to come across that finish line with a championship ring on your hand or a trophy on your back saying, oh, thank you, Jesus, we did it. You pulled me through. We stayed the course. We stayed after. We finished it. I thought about this in the context of sustaining grace this morning, looking over my notes again. You hear sometimes about hurricanes, don't you? It says that this hurricane had sustained winds of over 100 miles an hour. I said to myself, whoo, that's who I want to be. You see, I don't want to be a gust of wind. I don't want to just be gusting up to 100 miles an hour. Come on. Stay with me. Just a few more minutes, I'll let you go back to class. Come on, or lunch, or wherever. You with me? You see, I want to be a sustaining wind of over 100 miles an hour. I just want to be a gust of wind, a little poof every once in a while. Come on. Who wants to be a puff? I want to be a puff in the air. Come on, I want to be a strong force, dynamic, powerful, influence, favor, grace, making a mark, shaking kingdoms. Come on. Anybody with me? Is there a generation here seeking the Lord or what? Come on, somebody say amen. Let's go. Come on. Let's get after it. Let's finish this week of classes strong. Let's head into next year. Let's go. 2012 is my year. What about you? Come on. I want to be a hurricane. I want to be a gust of wind somewhere. Sustained force. You see, the same grace that bought me, same grace that bought me is the same grace that'll keep me. And the same grace that keeps me is the grace that'll make me a finisher. How do we do these things? How do I be and become a finisher? Well, I've shared some thoughts with you today. Can I recap them for you? I need to know God as a father. Because what that father's love will do, it'll come into my heart. It'll heal my hurts. It'll remove the root of rejection so that it doesn't impair my focus, cause me to fall short of my destination. He'll heal your broken heart today. Man, I know it's good to look good in class and in chapel. But man, going home these holidays might be tough for you, you know, because it ain't so good there. But God's grace and God's power and the Father's love will so touch and heal your heart. You know He is a healer. And He's a healer of wounded hearts. It's what He does. It's what He had to do for me. What He has to do often for me, as a matter of fact, because life's tough, guys. If anybody's telling you this mission, serving Jesus, things all going to be all fun and glorious, well, some of it's going to be fun and glorious, but some of it's going to be mean, dirty, nasty, and sometimes I just don't feel like fun anymore. But you know, I'm not doing it because it's fun anymore. I'm doing it because I love Jesus. And my commitment to Him resounds with resolve that says, I shall not quit this race. And I will do what I need to do to be who I need to be. And many times it's the Father's love. And then hanging out with this old guy. Because he talks to me, you know. When I'm having a tough day, you know, and sometimes I have a tough day. My wife now has Alzheimer's, dementia, laying in bed. Unable to feed herself, take care of herself. Some days can be tough for me too, guys. I get up every morning and see the woman that we were going to win the world with lying in bed incapacitated. And sometimes you want to say, God, it ain't fair. And you know what? It's not fair. I don't know that God ever said He would be fair. He said He would be just in the end. And He will. That's why I need this friend to keep talking to me. Because he has to talk me through some difficult days. And there may come a time when he needs to talk to you too. And when you put those together, the Father, a friend, the power of the Holy Spirit becomes a force in my life. That enables me to walk it out, to live it out, to finish my race, to finish well. To leave a legacy. You see, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a pretender. I want to be a contender. And a reminder of how Jude says, and I'll leave you with this, says, contend for the faith. Contende por la fe. Contend for the faith, my friend, today. Contend for the faith. It's a fight. But it's a fight you can win. Keep yourself pure. Walk uprightly before God. Honor Him. Seek Him. Climb the mountain, swim the ocean. Whatever you need to do to pursue God, get after God today as a father and a friend. And remember, He's the force in your life that'll carry you through. And He will help you endure the most difficult of moments that you come up against on your journey. Because the reality is none of us know. None of us know where our journey is going to take us. Because I can rewind 37 years back for me and I was about where you are. Different place, different setting, different time. Hopes and dreams and ambitions and goals, working, studying hard. God the Father as my friend. As my God, as my Father, the Bible is my friend. And His Spirit is a force in my life. Would you stand and allow me to pray for you today? Would you maybe just bow your heads for a moment or lift your face toward heaven or spread out your arms as if to embrace Him, whatever you're comfortable with. And I want to pray for you. Father God, I pray today that the precious grace of your Holy Spirit would come upon everyone in this room. That the Father's love would surround our hearts. That truth would surround our minds. And grace would be upon our feet. That we might embrace the journey forward. And that everyone here would finish. And they would finish well. It's my prayer today. I submit it to you in Christ's name. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.